Today's episode is brought to you by the support of Furno Grills. What's up, everybody? I am podcast host and restaurateur Brad Barmore. I have had the opportunity to cook on a lot of things, guys. Kettle grills, offset smokers, pellet grills, open pits, reverse flows, gravity smokers, cabinets, ugly drums. My Furno is hands down the best grill I have ever cooked on. You know, with gas grills, most folks get caught up in the BTUs, but it's really how well you can control and hold the heat that matters. And Furno grills happen to be a revolution in gas grilling and the ultimate cooking machine for the backyard cook, as they are designed and engineered with firewheel technology for the ultimate in precision heat control. Furno is the only gas grill with height adjustable burners, custom cast iron grates, and a fully insulated hood so you can sear without burning or cook slow and low to perfection. I've done steaks, burgers, chops, veggies, oysters, salmon, briskets, chicken, pork butts, tri-tips. Yeah, I cooked them all on the Furno and it has impressed me every time. Plus, it looks modern and really sleek in the backyard. It is unlike any grill I've seen out there. Project Smoke, Steve Reichlin, Forbes Magazine, AspiringGentleman.com are all raving about what the Furno Grills are doing to change the grilling game. Check them out on Instagram at Furno Grills, or for even more information, including recipes and financing options, head to www.furnogrills.com. First of all, it's ridiculous to think that we're at 116 of these freaking episodes. That's the first thing. Second thing is, it's my favorite part. We're tasting the beer. If you have not had a chance to go back and check out some of our previous episodes, please do that. Episode 115, we went to the Winter Chili Cook-Off and caused a ruckus.
Not like Wu-Tang Clan, but different kind of ruckus.
Yeah, if you want chili, then bring the ruckus. That's the way that we kind of framed it. yeah, go and check that out. You can also check it out on all the social medias. That's yeah, he's making the good face. It's all social media. It's Instagram, it's Twitter, it's Facebook. You can email the show, sportsmeetsbeer@gmail.com.
And if this is your first time listening, we appreciate it. But also, if you go over to that left right there, there's a button that says subscribe. Go ahead and do that. Right after you subscribe, hit that review.
I thought it was subscribe.
Yeah, must be Italian.
I thought it was Italian.
But yeah, the listen, we appreciate. The subscription we love, and the review we really love. Like, yeah. That's third base for us.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
I mean, if you could really do that, it would really be cool, and your parents would be fine with it. So,
just to illustrate how much
trust us, you're old enough.
Yeah, just to illustrate how much we love reviews, we're going to review this beer right now for you on the microphone.
Man, that was smooth.
So, with some
every third episode, we have really good slides like that, and I tell you what, I got to put those together and send off to a radio station, because that's radio worthy. I'm sorry, that is radio worthy.
That's all right. If in episode 150, and there was a moment where it's actually kind of towards the end where I just pulled the e-brake. We're doing 75 on the freeway, and I'm like, hey, we got to end this thing.
We got to stop this. We are done.
God. So in my sort of newest work developments and everything else with the expansion of the empire, now I'm also a delivery driver. So I drive all over the Bay Area delivering beautiful frickleness to everyone. And so this last trip that I made throughout the Bay, I made the effort to stop in some of the wonderful breweries we have in the greater Bay Area. And so I stopped at Fieldworks. I stopped at Faction. And I stopped at Almanac Brewing. We don't have any Faction beers we're going to taste today. You can check out the beer that we did taste from. Well, actually, we didn't taste that one for the radio, but you can check out some of the beer reviews we do on 97.7 The River, Danny Wright Morning Show. You can check it out on 97.7theriver.com, or you can check them out on Friday mornings at 8:30. But we did some stuff from Almanac already, and we did some stuff from Fieldwork for that show, but we have some Almanac beers that we're going to taste here. I do want to touch base on the Faction Brewery thing, though, because I was very put out by the experience. I walked into this place, and I don't know the bartender's name, or the beer tender, or whatever she was called. She was very, like, on brand for an Alameda brewery, which, if you do get a chance to go to Faction, I highly recommend it. The space is cool inside, but the view across the bay in Alameda towards the city is amazing. Amazing. And it was like 85 there when I was making this delivery. It was like, man, if I didn't have to drive to 17 other places, including San Jose, I would just stop here.
Yeah, stop here and have a sandwich and hang out.
Yeah. So
did you drop them samples of Frickles?
They don't do food in there. They
well,
do.
Fuck them.
Yeah. They do food trucks and whatnot. No. So anyway, I walk in and she's got, a modern amount of tattoos, pink highlights in her hair, spray tanned.
Oh,
and she,
really?
I asked her,
as in like the can was on the counter. So that's how you knew, or just a tanned person.
Yeah, just a tanned person.
Like Magna from what's the fucking Ben Stiller movie?
Oh, Something About Mary?
Yeah, Something About
Not
Mary.
Not quite like that.
Okay.
You just tell.
Gotcha. Yeah, I get you.
So I walk in and she goes, how can I help you? And I go, well, I'm looking to pick something up to go. I'm going to do a growler. I go, what's on and pop right now? What looks good? And she literally gives me this one. She's like, turns around and looks at the board, something I'm already doing.
Right.
And goes, well, there's this one and this one. I like this one, I guess. And the one that she said that she likes is like, it's called an unhazy hazy. So I'm already annoyed by the fact that she's annoyed by my presence there. And
how dare you go into her place of business and shop?
I go, an unhazy hazy. I go, how does that work? Her response. It's a hazy IPA recipe that they run through a filter. So it's an IPA. It's just an IPA then, which she did not think was very funny. And then I was like, you know what? I'll just go ahead and take the lager. Just send me home with the lager, which was delightful. I tried that one yesterday.
Utah, give me two.
Yeah. I was just so put out by the fact that, like, come on, man, I'm the first guest of the day. It's 11:30.
Well, on top of that, in this economy and the level of competition coming across, like, you're front of the house. People need to be on point every day.
Yeah, she just, I don't know what it was. Then I walked into Almanac, where the beers from today are from, and this guy, I couldn't ask him enough questions.
Yeah.
He was like so enthusiastic. And normally I'd have been like, Jesus Christ, man, calm down. But I was like in such like, in a negative balance. Funk. Because yeah. the other broad, yeah. I just soaked this guy up. Plus there was like Simpsons episodes playing on the TV. And like in the background, I had a great time at Almanac. I would have gladly went and got Almanac beers because it's walking distance and walked back to Faction and sat on their patio and drank the Almanac beers and looked at their view.
The only difference is that Faction, they had the Simpsons from Tracy Ullman show, the old ones.
Oh, they had Family Guy on.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I'm just kidding.
So I have an Almanac story before we jump into this beer. I hate the owners of Almanac.
You do?
Well, hate's a strong word. I really was mad at them. I like their beer, and I think they're good guys. I've seen them since, and I don't think they remember our exchange. But the story, it goes like this. This is back in the distributor days. This is right around, they started coming out about 2010. So this is probably 2011, 2012, and they're looking for distribution, and they come to us, right? And this is working for Mesa. Tony was out of town.
Okay.
My boss, Tony. Tony is killer at these negotiations. Killer. Does a great job. And really has all the, I mean, at the time we had a breakdown of, you know, hey, here's our one sheet of our distribution. This is what we expect from a brand like yours in the first 90 days, first 120 days, and then like the overall first year. You know, everything. So when you go through these negotiations, you talk about, you know, cost, laden cost, you talk about what margins they want, you talk about a lot of things, point of sale, all you kind of brush across the board. So I do my best Tony impression. I stand in, but our vice president jumps in with me. And he's a killer too. He is numbers, Mr. Numbers. I think he made Rain Man cry one time.
You made Rain Man cry one time?
Yeah, that's why I said Rain Man. Yeah. And so we're going through the whole thing and these guys are good. And we're kind of like having a good dance and I felt really good about it. And I'm like, all right, cool. And so they left and I was like, this is going to be my moment. Like I helped negotiate this contract. I feel really good. Like this is my first time in. You know, it's like a car salesman when he gets his first nut and stuff like that. And they couldn't have been more of an asshole to us. They did sign, but only after like they had so many follow up questions that I panicked and I was like, forward to Tony. I'm like, I can't help you. You have too many questions I can't answer. So they came in. They ended up signing with us and then canceling within 60 days.
Why?
Because we weren't hitting the volume trends that they wanted. Within like 60 days or 90 days, very close. Like it was a short run and wow. Ended up being I remember I was in the meeting, the cancellation meeting where they finally said we're done and they just had unreal. They expect us to have, you know, 70% distribution, all this stuff. So they were trying and they had a very hard approach, not a very approachable product at the time. It was very unique and very new. They've since done, they've really hung their hat on their barrel aging and their sour program.
Yeah.
So I like their beer. Interesting story. was one of those things where I always will have a little bit of bitterness in the back of my mouth because of them. So that being said, let's jump in.
So this is one of those things, you know, a while back we saw, you know, brute IPAs were starting to show up on the shelves a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we kind of thought that that was like the new thing. And then hazies really like just
shoved them a little out bit of the way.
And just shoved them out of the way. But I will say that most of the brutes that I've tried, including almost all the ones on this show that we've tried, I've really liked. I've liked how dry they are. I've liked, you know, what they're bringing to the table and, you know, just all of what they stand for. I think they generally make pretty good beer. So anytime I see one, I try and reach for it, especially in this day and age where everything we do for, you know, beer 30 and every beer that comes to the restaurants is a freaking hazy right now. So you just try this. So this is the Groovetastic Brute IPA.
Yeah.
And the packaging is awesome. It's in a 16-ounce can.
It's funny. The colors, it doesn't. It's not meant to look Christmassy, but it looks Christmassy. It looks like an ugly Christmas sweater.
Oh yeah, I could see that. I think it looks like a scarf somebody wears to outside lands.
You mean some of the like a scarf someone would wear after they start their shift at Faction?
Yeah.
Well, going through this beer AATMF, which I have to do because I'm down to my last baby zip. I've been sipping out this whole time. That, of course, if you're just tuning in or have forgotten what that acronym means, it is appearance, aroma, taste, mouthfeel, and finish. So going through those 5 points, it's the best. It's the easiest talking points. You can talk about things like horse blanket. You can talk about different flavor notes. You know, you can talk about, you know, the
cat urine.
Yeah. The SRM, which is the color of the beer. Like, those are fine things if you want to go upper echelon beer nerd stuff. But if you just want to have a conversation about beer, one of those 5 points are excellent talking points. So use them to your advantage. I'm going through this. This is a hazy beer.
It is.
Light in color. It almost looks, this looks like a hazy Coors Light, dude. It's so light.
Yeah, it is. It's
or like a hazy Modelo.
Very pale yellow.
Yeah.
Very pale yellow.
Mm. Straw-like in color for sure. I get like banana yogurt.
Okay, so nose. the yogurt thing is interesting. So in the nose, it smells a little citrusy. There's not a lot of pine in this. It's a little sweet. It smells sweet.
I'm getting zero hop out of it.
Yeah, it smells sweet, and you know, like I said, there's a little citrus, but it's nothing like. Like I wouldn't pick this out as an IPA, right out the gate, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mouthfeel is good. The carbonation level is nice. I think there is a little bit of like dry bitterness at the end. There's a thing that lingers on my palate here that I get like a cinnamon, like a cinnamon oatmeal cookie thing in it. Like that yogurt thing that you're talking about, like that sour, like lactobacillus type from like the icing. And then there's just like a little bit of like I said, I don't know if it's from the malt profile or what it is, but there's like a cinnamon oatmeal cookie thing.
Yeah.
And just very mild in the finish. And I cannot shake it now.
I'm not getting the cinnamon, but I see the connection between that. But like the yogurt smell, like this to me smells like Greek yogurt that hasn't been stirred up yet.
Right.
Right. So you still have like a little bit of liquid on top on whatever your Greek yogurt of choice is. We're a Noosa family. But before you mix it up, it has, you know, you peel that top back and it's got that odor and it's exactly what it smells like to me.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it's, it's like you said, the CO2 level is there. The taste is there. I mean, it comes across, you have really nice, subtle, brute flavors.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely like remember the Bear Republic one that was a little probably overly flavored, overly brute, too much, it tasted too much like champagne. This doesn't have, you would not be confused as this for this being like a champagne brute.
Yeah. And so one of the, you know, the brute thing is they use an enzyme to break down more of the sugar in the IPA. So the alcohol content isn't quite as high and it finishes a lot cleaner, has tighter bubbles.
Right. Opposed to people thinking it's not with champagne yeast.
Right.
That's the big kind of confusing
part. So one of the things that I like about this is that it's exactly what you just said. It's not crazy tight, ultra dry, bubbly with this, like the carbonation level feels right to me.
Right.
And it's not, even despite how thick it looks and despite how thick the mouthfeel is, there's not a ton of like, you know, it really cuts through it nicely. I wish there was a little bit more hop in the note though. I wish it was a little brighter.
Yeah.
But you know what though, I'm okay with this being, I'm okay with it. It actually plays out really well. I like it being a little muddled, a little withdrawn.
Mm.
It just, to me, it tastes like, I mean, I honestly, if there was another one here, I'd have another one right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And it does finish, it is, now that I'm out of my sample, I do get that dryness. And it's getting a slight alcohol burn, slight dryness, and it's just finishing really, really nice.
Yeah, give them a lot of credit for this, man, because...
It's just literally, it's sitting on my palate still, like the, not like bready like a biscuit. It's just sitting there, and it's just leaving this just a subtle flavor.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, a brewery that's known for doing all the barrel aging and the souring and all those types of things, to put something that muted probably isn't the right word, but something that's understated and subtle like this.
Understated is a much better word.
You know, is, you know, I think it's awesome. I mean, they're talented dudes. There's no denying that.
For sure.
And so, yeah, thumbs up for me.
Big thumbs up.
Yeah, Groovetastic Brute from Almanac Brewing.
I you know, and this especially too, now that they're getting more into the cans, as everyone is, this is a great, if you see anything coming across, you know, a lot of times you're going to see this as a single serve, right? Probably a single serve door, maybe four pack. Something from Almanac, you should probably pick it up if you want to experiment and play around, especially with that sour category. That's good sound effects.
Probably not picking it up on the mic, but.
Yeah, I could hear it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Anything you see from Almanac, and you know what we're going to see with this next beer is, you know, Ben and I had the opportunity to actually taste this for the radio already, but one of the things that you'll see is that...
Here's a radio secret. We record Beer 30 on Thursdays.
You know, people will say, oh, I'm not really a sour person, this, that, or the other. Like, it just like everything else, it's, you know, the first time you tried it was when it was like super traditional, you know, crazy Belgian funk yeast sour.
Well, that's the thing is, I think the divide in the road is to explain to people what the Belgian sour versus a traditional sour and even a kettle sour. There's so many different varieties, and people got hit over their head with that, and it was, you know, these big flavors of Russian River. It doesn't help too that when you go try these, you're generally at a brewery, which means you're doing tasters, which means your palate is jacked up, and you're probably walking out of there feeling pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Most people throw up after going to breweries, especially if they do like a brewery tour and hit three. Chances are you're going to barf because you've had way too much to drink anyways.
And, you know, I think the other thing too, one of the things that we've noticed is in the restaurants is the sour community, the sour lover community is not big, but it is the most vocal. So there is like a hipster
effect.
They're
literally the 1/100% of the beer buyer.
Yeah, and so they are the most vocal. They're 1/100%, but it sounds like they're 60% of the beer community because they speak up so much. Just, you know, just what you hear.
Right.
And so, but then that can be intimidating to somebody who's like not really into sours as much. Like these guys know everything there is to know about sours and they want them to pucker their face. And this is the stuff that they like. That must be what they're making, right? They like to have their, you know, their face puckered up like they ate, you know, an atomic lemon. Like, awesome. That must be what they're making because that's what the sour drinkers like.
It's, when you say it like that, it's always like the another Seinfeld reference of, remember when Kramer was doing the AIDS walk and the two guys, who does not want to wear a ribbon?
Yeah, who does not want to wear the ribbon?
This reminds me of that. If you don't, who does not like a thawa in this room?
Who does not like?
Who does not want a thawa from Barcelona?
Oh, God. So this
next one from Almanac, Sunshine.
Barrel aged Sunshine and Opportunity. It is a dry hopped sour aged in oak barrels with pear juice. Now, I did not look to see if these were new oak or aged.
I'm
going to
guess no. They're usually I think they use French oak barrels that are aged. You're not getting, I don't think you're getting flavors like this out of new oak.
No. Well, I mean, they use new oak for wine and rarely for whiskey, but. You know, it definitely comes with like some understand and how mellow and mild the oak flavor is in this. It wouldn't really surprise me. One of the things that I was concerned with, first of all, the packaging again on this is awesome. It looks like a bag of Skittles.
They've kind of taken what Revision has done and kind of cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah, just because they've taken it back two clicks and made the cans look nice and clean and also really eye-catching.
Well, they're also eye-catching. They're also the the most pronounced thing is the consistency in the logo. They're building a brand, whereas Revision is all about the name and the brand is secondary.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just why they do it. I mean, that's they have the names, you know, Reno as Fuck, which I still understand how they don't have a cease and desist on that.
Who does?
Revision has that Reno as Fuck. It's been around for about a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah. But it, I mean, it says right on the can, and that's, you know, it's like a clear violation of the ABC yeah. laws and labeling, which is if you have a hard time falling asleep, I can show you the website. You'll go to sleep very quickly to read through all the labeling.
I think I'm good. So one of the things when I picked this beer up, or when the awesome bartender there, who was, his awesomeness was benefited by the terribleness of the bartender before him.
Yes.
But one of the things that I did, I was told him that I was concerned with, I go, man, anytime I've ever had any pear, anything like a pear Berliner Weiss, or, you know, like a, you know, like a pear sour even, or anything that's got a fruit like that, pear is very distinct. It can make things really rich. It can make things very cloying. It doesn't like, well, or I think, it forces you to have to add like a spice level that's not like to really balance that out, that I don't necessarily care for. So I was concerned when he suggested this, because I was like, I don't know, man. I just, in my experience, it's been right. this.
Well, usually because when most people think of pear, they think of like Asian pear, which is really light, really delicate, and very gentle flavors. In brewing, you generally are not going to use that because you want to get the most out of what you're putting in.
You're using your Bosks or your Bartlett's.
Right. You're using big time, almost cider pears.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, and those, you know, are very, very, very pronounced flavors.
Yeah. So the AATMF on this, it actually doesn't look all that dissimilar from what we just drank.
No, it actually looks identical. You put them side by side. It's, you know, again, so we're talking light, we're talking hazy. It's translucent, not so much completely cloudy. But this goes through, and it's the nose on this is delightful, man. It's so good.
It smells
citrusy.
Yeah.
You get, you know, normally with something like this, you get that lemongrass flavor. And I don't get lemon, I get lime.
Yep, I totally agree. This, what I said when I tasted the guy, I go, this is like drinking lemonade in a wine cellar, like in a barrel cellar.
Oh, yeah.
Just because the citrus that's in it is there. And he was like, yeah, totally. Which I'm sure he just says that to everybody who makes a dumbass comment like that. But like just something about like the barrel aging gives it doesn't give it an oak flavor. It just gives it like barrel cellars have that smell to them.
It's very
fermentation
similar.
Smell.
We talked about it on the radio. We talked about it off air. We talk about it in our sleep. It's that same smell when you walk through a brewery, the wort, right? So in the brewing process, after you've brought your beer to a boil and then it cools down, that's the wort. And in the wort, you smell the sweetness because there's no alcohol being produced yet. You still have to activate your yeast to then eat the fermentable sugars. But you basically have a really sweet cereal grain.
Right.
You've got a beer soup without the beer, right?
Yep.
And that has a very distinct flavor and aroma, much like what you're comparing it to right now, which is that same cellar, little musty, little oaky, you know, very, very, very similar smells. And because you have such, you know, you're in cellars, you have such great smell. It's not anything that you're never really getting anything funky. Because there's no heat to make it rancid or nasty.
Right. Yeah, I
same reason why my beer fridge smells so good.
I love everything about this beer. If we're just being honest with each other.
This is great. I'm impressed. It's been a while. It's been a good long while since I've had something from Almanac. And I'm very happy with these two selections. It's really good.
Yeah, man. It's sour, but like, in a very pleasant fresh squeeze lemonade or limeade type of way. It's sweet. It's got some of that funk, some of that barrel age. And then the pear really helps to give it like a richness that keeps it from being too puckery. Like if that's a word I could use.
Well, just it almost stops the flavor process. Like it's not going to keep going with extreme flavors. Right. And this goes back to some of the hazies that are so heavy-handed with the guava and the passion fruit and the Kern's nectar and the viscosity of the liquid, and it's just too much. And it goes back to, I think, the pear, like they've hit a ceiling with it and they don't really go any further. And but it's right and still in that enjoyable state where it's not over the top.
Yeah, no, this is
it's delicious.
of all the beers that we were able to try between yesterday and today, this has been by hands down my favorite beer. Fieldwork disappointed a little bit. You know, Faction was fine, but you know, and the Brute was great, but this beer has just been awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I agree.
So, good for you. Good for me.
Oh, man, this thing's awesome.
All right.
So one of the things that we have, which we'll address on the podcast eventually, our little summer vacation. But one of the things that happened on my summer vacation was my birthday, 44 this year. And in typical fashion, we have a big block party and have a good time. And now a new friend of the show and a new friend of my wife brought over a beer from North Coast Brewing Company, as I'm doing the Cajun cork with one hand. That's why it's taken me a while to get a sentence out.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they have a small brewery, you know.
They have like a Mexican-style dark lager that they put out earlier in the summer called Laguna Baja that I thought was freaking awesome. Awesome. Like, imagine like your Negra Modelo, but like kicked up like two levels, roasty and still light-bodied, and it was awesome. Super good. Anyway.
These guys make Old Rasputin, right? This just smells like Old Rasputin just dumped a bunch of bourbon all over himself.
Oh, really?
This is going to be delicious. I can tell you now. This sounds like I'm not waking up at 4 a.m. and for work tomorrow.
That's...
Oh, wow. I'm going to say this right now. This will challenge Out of Bounds.
Really?
If you've listened to the show before, you understand what a big fan we are of Out of Bounds Brewing from Sacramento area. Their barrel-aged stuff is awesome. This is the Old Stock Ale from 2014. There is nothing stock about this.
All right.
This thing is.
This is drinking caramel. That's what this is.
Yeah, with a shot of bourbon behind it.
See, I don't get it. I don't find it to be that boozy. There's no burn, really.
There's no burn, but it is. Man, this is.
So what is this? It's not a stout or anything.
No, right? It's just a. It's an ale. It's an old ale. It's all it says.
Ale aged in wheat whiskey barrels. Yeah, the wheat whiskey. I can see that.
What is wheat whiskey?
As opposed to like corn or rye.
So this is unbelievably smooth.
Yeah.
It says originally it's like 10%, 10.2 with an original gravity of 1.1, which is huge. This, it does look like a porter or stout. And if you are a porter or stout fan... Or a barrel-aged fan. This is right up your alley. This might be like one of the best beer, the gifts of beer I've ever gotten. This is really good.
That hurts my feelings, man. One time I got you the Beers of the World case from Pier 1 Imports. How dare you? Yeah, I as you know, I tend to shy away from, you know, from... ice beer floats and stuff like that. Like chocolate cake and stouts. I think that's, you know, lame. But I could see where this has a total place for that.
Well, just think about like if you could incorporate this, you would never really want to cook it down. But if you could incorporate this into a caramel drizzle, that would be awesome.
Yeah, what I would do is I would make caramel and then I would like with the caramel still warm, I would add like a teaspoon of this into it, just a little bit into it, and then drizzle it over the top. Whatever you do, it's gonna harden a little bit, almost like magic shell. But you still break it and eat it. And this, you know, this won't because you didn't cook it. This will be what cools it.
Right.
You'll still get a lot of the flavor from it, but
that'd be really, really good.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, I'm blown away. So I mean, this is light brown in color, little to no carbonation, which is fine for a beer that you're laying down.
Beer
from 2014, I'm okay with having a little carbonation because this is almost like a real light cognac. Something you're gonna drink out of a brandy snifter. You're gonna do something. This is a sipper. You're not gonna drink this on a boat after wakeboarding.
Right.
So this is phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, Aroma, Whiskey, Bernie. We didn't really go through the ATM. We went out of order on the ATMF, but you get a little whiskey, not a lot of burn. You know, tons of flavor, really good English malt. I think that's the connecting factor.
I think
why you're not getting so much burn from the whiskey barrel aging as much as, and you just get that a little bit of those earthy tones from those English malts.
Yes,
and it's you know, a little minerally, almost dirty, but it's really good. It ties so well together.
Yeah, I think that is the key. You know, you said this challenges the
out of bounds.
You know, I immediately went in with like that beer in my mind, and so initially I was like, well, it's not. They're not the same at all.
No, two different beers.
And so with that in mind, you know, I think I prefer the darker one just because I want something a little bit roastier and toastier. Mm-hmm. However, just because I prefer it doesn't mean that this isn't a phenomenal cellared beer, dude. It's so good. It's so good. It's like drinking caramel. It's
boozy caramel.
Yeah, but it's so funny because it's only boozy because I can feel the warmth in my tummy. I can't, I'm not like, you know, it's not burning on the way down. It's not doing any of that stuff. This is it's phenomenal. This is the best beer gift you've ever gotten. You're right. I take back what I said about the beers of the world thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't want to be a jerk, but Asahi doesn't really count as a beer from the world. It's made in Canada.
Super dry. Oh, the old standby.
Oh God, the Asahi Super Dry. What a great flashback that is. So that was from our, just a quick story, then we'll wrap this up. When we first started recording this podcast, we'd go to San Francisco to record this, and one of the episodes, I forgot beer. It was on the cooler, on the counter, and we just were amped up to get out of town. And lo and behold, I left the beer at home. So we're like, all right, let's hit a liquor store. Let's figure out, there's got to be, you know, we're in San Francisco on Broadway. There's got to be, and we walked over to Safeway. We walked over, and the only thing we found at every single liquor store was the common denominator was Asahi Super Dry. And every time we sat, we'd look over to the store and look, and sure enough, Asahi Super Dry, though, we would piss ourselves laughing. It was so stupid.
Such a silly way.
Little background to that inside joke. Anyways, Sports Meets Beer, episode 116, the beer sampling episode.
Yeah, in the books.
In the books, man. In the books. Keep listening, please.
Well, not when it's over.
No, like keep listening to other episodes.
Oh, right.
If you are binge listening,
because
or...
you just sit here, if the episode ends and you're just sitting there listening to nothing.
Yeah.
They're gonna check you in, man.
What if we, one of the times we like have like a 4-minute dead space? And then just come back in with something groovy. Like the first time, like you pick up a bass guitar and I got a guitar. We jam. We just do like some noise.
Just
something
cool. But just wait 4 minutes of just silence. Yeah. And then like just like the end of a Marvel movie.
Yes. That might be the old stock talking. Anyway, check us out on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the whole deal. Sports meets beer, meets like the protein, just like you found this episode. That being said, that's it. Let's wrap it up, dude. Good beers from Almanac, amazing beer from North Coast. That's it. Sports meets beer.
Booyah.